Let's recite last week's memory verse, which is Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Let us do it now. For the sake of our guests, I'm going to ask one volunteer to do it so that our guests can remember the blank words. Got it? Anyone? Chickens, I'll do it. Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves has fulfilled the law. For whoever loves others, we missed the letter O, has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. Okay, one more time. Everyone, guess, everyone on live stream, let's do it. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. This week's brand new fresh memory verse comes to us from the 14th chapter. Let's read it together. Romans 14:7. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, verse 17. Children, go in peace and have a wonderful time. The kids' house, the little house, and all the teachers and helpers, we so appreciate your ministry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have a good friend back in college. He became a believer. So brand new Christian. Now, he so happens attend, not conservative, more than that, like fundamental legal, that's a good word, a legalistic church. In that church, it was all about do's and don'ts. Okay? So this brand new Christian, my buddy, oh, poor guy, he was told, hey, now that you're a Christian, don't drink, don't smoke, and don't date girls who do. Legalistic. Now, he has come out of that, and so he's living in freedom and liberty in Christ. But here's my question. Okay? Many Korean Christians, they're also very legalistic. Now, I can talk about them because I'm one of them. Okay? Very legalistic. They believe drinking is sin, smoking is sin, dating girls who do is sin. Well, maybe not the third one. How do you respond to that? Or should you? Well, let me make it even personal. What if you invite a brother or sister in Christ who you know believes that drinking is sin? Would you offer them a glass of wine knowing that they think it's sin? Well, of course you wouldn't. Well, how about this? Would you enjoy a glass of wine? I mean, after all, you are serving Alberton steak, medium rare. How can you have that? How can you enjoy it without a glass of Old Vine Zinfandel? Huh? What a waste. Would you enjoy a glass of wine? Now, you know, in your conscience, it's not sin. You have that liberty in Christ. You have that freedom in Christ. You believe God has made everything clean, so it's not sin for you, but you know it's a sin for him or her. Would you exercise your freedom? A little trickier. Well, how about this? Cannabis. There's a story on every corner in Edmonton. It's legalized. It's lawful, isn't it? Yes, John? Not that you know. Question, as a follower of Christ, would you smoke pot? Now, there are legitimate reasons for which one may do that for medicinal purposes as a form of painkiller. Got it. It's lawful, it's legitimate, and your conscience is clean and clear. But would you recreationally use that just to get high. Now, as we move along this journey of what is allowed, what is forbidden, what is in the gray, and what is your prerogative, your right in freedom, liberty in Christ to do, you must consider this. Repeat after me. Edification. That's it. So let's go to Romans chapter 14. It is so important, so most practical. Let's go there. Now, when you come to a passage in the Bible, I am teaching you what I do. This is how I approach, address the Bible. I ask the following four questions. Number one, who wrote it? It's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who was a God, he persecuted Christians. He hated the Church of Christ. He met the risen Christ. He became born again and one of the apostles. In fact, more than half the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Who wrote it? Paul. Number two, to whom was it written? It was written to the church in Rome, hence the name Romans. There was a church, brand new church, kind of like ours, young church. And it was made up of two ethnic groups. It was a multicultural church. Jewish Christians and the Gentile, the Roman or non-Jewish Christians. They're all new Christians. Two ethnic groups, Jews and non-Jews, and they came together. And number three, the third question you must ask is, what was the purpose? What was the purpose for Paul to write this letter, epistle, to the church in Rome? Simply this. He spends chapter 1 through chapter 11 in this. God has revealed his righteousness for everyone who comes to Christ. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Gentile, Roman, Korean, Dutch, doesn't matter, Rwandan. Everyone who comes to Christ receives the righteousness from God through faith, not by doing and not doing, not by observing the law. No, simply by the grace of Christ. And then, number four, what was the occasion? There was a controversy, trouble in the church in Rome. And here was what was happening. The church was divided ethnically, Jews and non-Jews. But the church was also divided by people who disagree adamantly on the things like, is it lawful for Christians to eat meat? Is it lawful for Christians to drink wine? Is it lawful for Christians to worship God on certain days? Maybe the Sabbath day, the sixth day, or is it the seventh day, or is it any day of the week? The church was divided. So Apostle Paul is writing to correct, instruct, and encourage the church in the right mind, in the right thinking, and in right behaviors. Got it? So let's go there. Romans chapter 14. Dear friends, hear the word of the Lord. He starts with one of the key words. Accept the one whose faith is weak. Without quarreling over disputable matters like eating meat, drinking wine, or observing certain days as sacred. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak, it's only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has what? God has accepted them. That's a key word. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another, like the Sabbath day or other festival days. Another considers every day alike. So what do? Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. And here's why. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the living, dead, and the living. So then, why do you judge? Would you say the word judge? Another key word, very important. What was the first key word? The second key word is judge. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind. Make up your mind, will you? Not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is what? Meat unclean? Wine unclean? No. Nothing is unclean. Everything is clean. What God has made is clean. You don't have to be a vegan. And you go, whew. For nothing is unclean in itself. But here's what's even more important. But if anyone regards something as unclean in his or her conscience, then for that person, it is what? Unclean. If I believe drinking wine is sin, then it is sin for me. I'll come back to that. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love, Victor. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good, meaning I know this is legitimate, this is right, this is my freedom. Okay? Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Would you read verse 17 with me? For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Building up. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, such a relevant teaching for us today. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us to know what the kingdom of Christ is all about and what it is not. Keep us humble, keep us vigilant, but most of all, help us to see who Christ is, what he has done for us. In his beautiful, powerful name, we pray. Amen. I'd like to encourage you to utilize the sermon notes. You can obtain that by using the QR code in front of you. And furthermore, I don't know if I'll have time, but let's find out. You will see the number to which you may submit questions about your questions regarding the teaching and the preaching, the message today. But please do so upon the completion of the sermon. Write these words in your sermon notes, the theme and the goal, the big idea. We love one another by sacrificing our liberty or freedom. That's how we love. Love is not mere words. It's not only an attitude. It is an action. Okay? We love one another by sacrificing, giving up our liberty, because Christ loved us by sacrificing his liberty. First point. Question to you. Let us look into our own soul and ourselves in the mirror of God's word. Do you find yourself judging your brother or sister in Christ by treating them with contempt? Okay. Do you judge your brother or sister in Christ because you treat them with contempt? The disputable matters. We're talking about very specific topics. Not just everything, anything, but very, very narrow set of things. God has obviously revealed what is right and what is wrong, black and white. God has obviously revealed what we must obey and what we must not commit. Obviously, black and white. That's clear. God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, and all the commandments, the decrees in the Bible, God has said, do these, don't do these, loud and clear. When Paul says, regarding the disputable matters, here's what he's talking about. I appreciate the description, the matters of conscience. So this is about the doctrine of, a very fancy word, adiaphora. Say adiaphora. There is a definition of that, and it's going to tell you this. It's a fancy word. It's a fancy word. The teaching that certain beliefs or practices are matters of indifference because they are neither commanded nor forbidden in the Bible. That's the definition. The word diaphora means God has not forbidden these things, nor God has said you may do them. God is rather silent about them. So the actual word diaphora is like indifferent, indifference. Okay? So that's what's happening at the church in Rome. When it comes to eating meat, when it comes to drinking wine, but now here, it gets even more interesting. We're not talking about any meat. Here's what's happening. The church is made up of two different kinds of people, right? The Jews and non-Jews. The Gentiles, the Roman citizens, many of them before coming to Christ, they worshipped other idols. And in that religion, in that idolatry, they would offer animal sacrifices. And then afterwards, that meat would be sold in the market. And they would go, and people go to the butcher and buy the meat that was once offered to an idol. And in the church, as after they became Christians, they said, this is not right. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, should not consume meat that was once offered to an idol. And one group said, no, that's okay. Even though that was offered to an idol, we don't believe in that idol. There's only one God. So protein is protein. Meat is meat. So in their conscience, it was okay. But in the first group, it wasn't. Same thing with the wine. We're not talking about just any wine. Many scholars think it was wine that was offered as a libation offering to an idol. Now, there was once offered. It was sold in the market. And now people are buying that wine. One group said, we can't drink that wine. It was offered to an idol. Another group said, yes, we can. What do we do? These are the matters of conscience. And the Lord said, do you judge your brothers or sister with contempt? Would you repeat after me? The Greek word to judge is krino. Say krino. Krino. It means to judge. It means to pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. Now, here's the thing. In the black and white, when you judge, you are doing the right thing. You are simply calling a spade a spade. I had a friend pastor back in Michigan. He sat down with a man who was living with a woman, and they weren't married. So the pastor, in his pastoral counseling, gently pointed out that it is wrong for them to live together when they're not married. Okay? And you know what the man said? Now, he was having this meeting in a public restaurant. He bought the guy a breakfast, very pastoral, very kind, very patient. And when he said, this is wrong, and the man got up with a fork in his hand, don't you judge me. And he walked out. Okay? One of the mostly misunderstood, misused Bible verses is, do not judge, lest. Okay, let me clarify. When it comes to black and white, when God's law definitively explains, reveals, displays what is right and wrong, you and I must call a spade a spade. How can my pastor friend could have called him up if he was not making a judgment call? Got it? The Bible clearly says, when a brother or sister leads astray, bring them back. How can you bring them back without making a judgment call, saying, Victor, you are going the wrong way. Repent. Turn around. That's good judgment. That's good judging. Got it? Here, when he says, do not judge your brother, what it means is this. By saying, you eat meat that was offered to an idol, how dare you? You are sinning. And furthermore, repent. Furthermore, since I don't, I feel superior over you. That's judging your brother with contempt. Or vice versa. Vice versa. You think it's right for you to drink wine that was offered to an idol before because God made everything clean. Now, as you drink, you know, these guys over there, they disapprove of you. And what do you say? Grow up. Know the Bible. Know the scripture. Don't judge us. Judge yourselves. What are we doing? Sorry, what are you doing? You are judging them with contempt. So therefore, first, accept your brother and sister in the Lord. Now, the key word, accept. Here's what I found. Okay. When I say when I use the word accept, sometimes it's very passive. It's like this. Okay, I don't like KP, but in the Lord, I accept him. How am I using the word accept? I acquiesce. I don't want to hang out with him, but I ought to because he's my house church and he's always there. I can't escape him. So, KP, I accept you in the Lord. That's not what it means. A better translation is to receive. A better yet translation is to welcome. Oh, the best translation is embrace. Much more active. So when your brother or sister disagrees in the matters of conscience, in the adiaphora, what do? You embrace them. Instead of judging them, you embrace. You go all in. Says, I disagree, but I accept you, welcome you, receive you, and embrace you in Christ. And here's why. Here's a slide. When it comes to matters of conscience or adiaphora, It is not about ripe leaves or ripe behaviors. It is all about acting in love towards your brother and sister in Christ. You catch that? It's not about having the right beliefs and doing the right behaviors. You may be right. You may be right. But what's even most important is you defer, you sacrifice your love, your freedom in Christ for the sake of your brother. It's all about acting in love. In fact, chapter 14 follows chapter 13. And last Sunday, we learned about this. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. In a house church, last Wednesday, KP was there. I welcomed him. I embraced him physically, literally. One of the questions was, why did Paul use the word debt? Really interesting word. Let no debt remain outstanding except the debt to love one another. Meaning, when do you have a debt? You have a debt when you took more than what you gave. Got it? Say, I owe Sam $100 and I pay him only $90. I'm in debt because I received more from him than what I gave. I'm in debt. And Christ is saying, have only one debt outstanding in your life. The continuing debt to love one another. What you want to do is you want to love them more than what you receive. You are acting in love. So accept your brother, sister, and do not treat them with contempt. Let me read verse 13 and 15. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. I am convinced, being persuaded in the Lord Jesus, he is bringing the full apostleship of the Lord Christ himself, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Before moving on to point number two, question. Do you have the weak faith or the strong faith? Weak faith is eating meat offered to idol is sin. Strong faith is, no, it's okay. We have the liberty and freedom in Christ. Consume that protein. Do you have the strong faith or the weak faith? A better question is, how do you view the other person? Whether it be drinking wine, whether it be celebrating Halloween, whether it be going to the cannabis store. On the note, I must say this, lest you be led astray. Black and white, clear. In the middle, gray. We have freedom. But here, question. Is it permissible for us to drink wine? The answer is yes. But the Lord clearly says in black and white, do not get what? Drunk. Okay? So drinking wine is in your liberty. Getting drunk, that's sin. So here's a question. Why would you want to smoke pot? Is it to get high? Then if so, how is that different than getting drunk in wine? Think about that. Okay? The theme, we love one another by sacrificing our liberty because Christ loved us by sacrificing his liberty. Number two, how should you love one another? By sacrificing your liberty. Accept the one whose faith is weak. We covered this, right? So let's move on. Let me allow me to make one point. What's striking is this. Paul addresses both the people with the weak faith. Do not judge your brother or sister with contempt. He also addresses the strong faith. Do not judge your brother or sisters with contempt. But then for the rest of the chapter, he's addressing the strong, Very interesting. All the instructions now is about the one with a strong faith, you guys. They're responsible too, but the onus is on you all the more. And I find that really interesting. That is to say, hey, one of you has to be the adult in the room, and you be the adult. You sacrifice even more than they do, because let the continuing debt to love one another continue. Letter B. How should we love one another? Remove the stumbling blocks. Look at verse 13. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. What's a stumbling block? It's big old rock on the road. You don't see it, and you hit your toe, your foot against it, and you stumble over it. And as you fall, your foot is in pain, and you are saying things that you shouldn't say, and you are most of all embarrassed because everyone saw you fall. That's a stumbling block. Okay? It causes you to stumble and fall. And the Lord says, do not put any stumbling block in the way of a brother or sister. But then here's the verb. Make up your mind, right? Make up your mind not to do it. Really cool stuff. And whenever I find something interesting, I can't wait till I share that with you. What is the Greek word, make up your mind? Hint, hint. Starts with the letter K. Any guesses? How do you say judge in Greek? Krino. Pastor Jay, that's interesting. Judge for yourselves. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block. I think what Paul is saying is this. Judge for yourselves. Make an opinion of your act. Is this going to cause them to fall? Is this going to tear down what God has built in that sister's faith? Judge for yourselves. And he's working with words here. There's this play on words. Judge not. Instead, judge for yourselves. Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block. Instead, let's go to verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual, what's the word? Edification. To build up the other person. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. But it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Instead of laying something that trips your brother, what is the word? Edify. Edify them. It's like this. Don't hate your brother. Okay, Lord, I don't hate KP. Fine. And the Lord says, Victor, instead, love him. Uh-oh. That's another level, isn't it? Similarly, don't put stumbling blocks that they trip over it. Instead, remove anything that you might think will cause them to fall. Edify them in all that you do. Think about building them up. Building them up. It's not prohibition. It's edifying. Edifying all the more. What that means is there is no end, really. This is a higher calling. Higher calling. So third point. Last one. Where do we get the power to love one another by sacrificing our liberty? This is a tall order. I don't know if I can do it. I'm okay with not laying a stumbling block, but to edify KP in all that I do. Ooh. Verse 5. KP, thank you. You're a good sport. I love you. You know I do. Aren't you going to say it back to me? Okay. Verse 5, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Sabbath. Do we worship the Lord on Saturday or Sunday? Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. To the Lord. For the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. For the Lord. For they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and for the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone. We live for the Lord and we live for one another. And none of us dies for ourselves alone. We die for the Lord, in the Lord, for the Lord, and for the glory, the edification of others. If we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord altogether. So therefore, I put Jesus first, and I put others second, and I put myself third. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Where's the power? The power is what Christ has done. He has done it for us. He loved you. How? By sacrificing his own liberty. Romans 1:3-11. When Victor was kicking and screaming, waving his fists at God's face, I wish you were dead. I am your enemy. I don't want anything to do with you. I want to be my own God. I was his enemy in that time while I was still a sinner. Before I obeyed God, before I did anything good at all, that's when Christ died for me. And when he died, here's what happened. This book of Isaiah. The Lord cries out, who will go for us? Who will go to the victors of the world and call them to repentance and to be saved? Jesus says, I volunteer. He didn't have to. He was not obligated to. But he volunteered. I'll go gladly. And I'll go and give up my liberty, give up my freedom to edify Victor Coase of the world. Because he loved us. By sacrificing his liberty, we get the power to do the same. Verse 17, the memory verse. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, amen, but it is about righteousness. Being made right with God. How are you made with God, with the holy God? When you know that you have fallen, when you know you are a sinner, when you know you don't stand a chance of being accepted, being welcomed, being received, being embraced by the holy God. You are made right by Christ alone. He has done it. He is your righteousness. And he is your peace, your in hostility against God, Christ becomes our peace between God and us. He breaks down the barrier, the hostility, the wall of hostility, and thereby he brings down, he tears down the wall of hostility among one another. He is our peace. And he is our joy, J-O-Y, the joy of the Father, which he shared with God the Son and God the Father, in that between that relationship, God the Father, God the Son, there was that ultimate joy before the time of creation and the Holy Spirit, that joy among the Godhead, that joy is now yours. The joy not as the world gives, but only God gives. So in conclusion, in Christ, the Holy God, he accepted you. He welcomed you. He received you. But most of all, with his bare hands, he embraced you. And says, you are clean. I make you clean. Pray with me. Friends, I want to give you an opportunity for those of you who have not yet embraced Christ as your Savior and Lord. Listen to these words. He accepts you now, today. Today he accepts you before you do anything else. He welcomes you, he receives you, he embraces you today, 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 right now. Will you embrace him back? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to be clean before the Holy God. I need you to be loved by God, to love him back. I need you. Would you say that prayer in your heart right now? Today is your day of salvation. Hallelujah. And to the rest, I speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, will you make up your mind? Right here, right now. Make up your mind. Not only to remove obstacles and stumbling blocks, but to build up your brother and sister. Think of them first before yourselves. Imagine a church filled with people like that. Imagine a school filled with people like that. Imagine a neighborhood, community filled with people like that. Imagine a city and a nation filled with people like that. Lord Jesus, if we die, we die for you, die to you. If we live, we live to the Lord. Thank you. Amen.